At the last two lessons that we looked at, one being on adultery or fornication, the other being on divorce, these were very heavy but very necessary lessons. And at first glance, as we continue through the Sermon on the Mount here, we might think that the Lord is sort of lightening up on us as he continues in this message, but really he's not. You know, we have a tendency to categorize our sin. You know, some are worse than the others, or some are better than the others. Well, the Lord doesn't necessarily do that, and we need to be aware of that. But when we think, you know, the Lord, he didn't waste any breath. You know, he wasn't idly speaking. He wasn't just, you know, kind of going over nonchalantly things that he thought that we should know, and things that his disciples should know. He was speaking directly and purposefully to them. So these things that we're looking at, we should know, are very important and should be very important to us. Each of these things that he is bringing out of God's law and showing the spirit of the law compared to the letter of the law, they're very important. As a matter of fact, they're really fundamental. They're foundational teachings. That's seen in the fact that, well, we'll just think about the ones that we've dealt with. We've dealt with the sin of murder. We dealt with the sin of adultery and fornication, the sin of divorce. Now you think about how relevant that is to our day, some 2,000 years later. It's just as relevant, perhaps more relevant in our day. See, that should tell us something. The Lord knew man. He knows man perfectly. He knows what man needed to know. And he's teaching that here as he preaches to his and teaches his disciples, and then as he teaches others. These things are very relevant and very important to us. They're foundational and fundamental teachings of God's Word. So let's return to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 33 as we come to another aspect of the Lord's teaching here. In verse 33 it says, "Again ye have heard that it hath been said." Remember, we've heard that in all three of the last lessons. The Lord is dealing with the letter of the law. He's talking to them, said, "You heard from God's law this." And then he's going to expound on it and tell them, well, you think it means this, but really it means, it's not just this letter, you know, it's not ABC, it's a spirit, it's a mind, something of the mind and heart that it means. And we'll see that here. "Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil," or literally cometh from the evil one. Again, you'll notice as we begin to look at this commandment that the Lord is dealing with here, it is not one that is included in what we call the Ten Commandments, is it? So many people think, if they even think that the Ten Commandments is relevant to us, they think that's all of the Old Testament or all of God's law that is relevant to us. Well, just this fact that the Lord he began in those that are found in those ten moral laws, but now he's gone even further, hasn't it? In the last two, he has dealt with things that aren't in those ten, but that are in the whole counsel of God's law. It's just another example of the fact that when the Lord said that I am not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, and that his law still stands, he said not one jot or one tittle will be removed until heaven and earth pass away. He meant all of his law, not just the ten that that religion is so commonly familiar with, but all of his law. The passage, or really two passages, that the Lord is referring to here when he says in verse 33, "Ye have heard that it hath been said of them of old time." One of them is Leviticus 19 and verse 12, and it says this, "And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." The other is Deuteronomy 23:23, and it says this, "That which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth." Now, let's look at a few things about this commandment that the Lord is dealing with here. First, what is it to swear? A lot of times when we say don't swear, we're telling someone not to use curse words. And actually, this could even be included in here, because whenever one swears falsely by the name of the Lord, he tells us in another place that that is using his name in vain. So, anyway, to swear or to forswear thyself, that means to swear falsely. When he says, "Do not forswear thyself," that means to swear falsely. What he's talking about here, when he's talking about swearing, in short, as far as I can get my mind around it, it is a promise made with collateral. Everybody knows what collateral is. It's a promise made with collateral. It was common to the Jews to swear, to confirm their word. That's what it is when you make a promise. You give someone your word. And the Jews, they confirmed their word with collateral. And that collateral that they used was, much of the time, the Lord's name. His own name. They would tell somebody that they would do something, and they said, I just so you'll know I'll do it, I'll swear upon the Lord's name, or in the Lord's name. And they would swear by the Lord or by His name to do a certain thing, but, like the Jews, just like us, but because the letter of the law said not to swear falsely by God, and they realized, guess what, they couldn't keep the letter of the law. They found themselves swearing falsely, or swearing and then not being able to keep the promise, or not desiring to keep the promise for some reason. They realized they couldn't keep the letter of the law. They decided that they could use other collateral to swear by, and then if they broke that promise, they actually wouldn't be breaking the law. They're just like us, justifying our sin. You see, that's what they were doing. They thought, well, if it's a sin to swear using the Lord's name, what if we use this? And that way, if we failed, because we know we failed because we've seen ourselves fail, if we failed, then it wouldn't be as bad, or it wouldn't actually be breaking God's law. How many times in your mind have you done something or been tempted to do something and you run it back and forth and back and forth and back and forth? Well, it wouldn't actually, if I'd done it this way, it wouldn't actually be against God's word. See, we're just like them. Turn over to Matthew 23. Just hold your place there in Matthew 5 and flip over to Matthew 23, and you'll see some of this. It bears some of this out, some of their thinking, some of the things that they were doing. Matthew 23 and verse 16, the Christ also here speaking to them and speaking very frankly to them. He says, "Woe unto you, you blind guides." Remember we talked about how hard he was against the Pharisees? Remember the reason why? It indicts all of us. "Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing." You see there? They decided that they wouldn't swear by the Lord's name anymore. They just swear by the temple. And then if we break the law, break that promise, it's nothing. And he says, "Woe unto you, you're blind." He said, "But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is debtor." That's where they were saying, don't swear by the gold of it, but swear by the temple itself. You see how their mind was just in confusion. "Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar," see, there's another one, it's nothing. They said that's nothing. "But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty." See, they picked and chose their laws, which ones that they wanted to make and which ones they thought they could keep. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. You see, he said, you swear by my temple, it's just like you swearing by me. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. You see, this is a real problem. for them. They were making up all kinds of laws to try to justify their sin, and it wasn't working out for them. The Lord twice rebuked them for it, at least twice, in the two passages that we just read. So the Lord in Matthew 5 is telling them, not only is it a sin, not only is it breaking God's law to swear falsely by the name of the Lord Himself, but the spirit of the law is this: it is a sin to swear falsely by anything. That's the spirit of the law. It's like this. Let me see if I can illustrate it with a human picture that we can get a hold of. When we buy something and put up collateral for it, just say we bought a piece of land. We found a nice piece of land that we wanted to buy, and we decided to put up our house as collateral for that land. We're making a promise with the bank to pay for this land. And the guarantee that I will pay is in the fact that I will put up my house, which is of greater value than the land. And I'll put that my house down as collateral. If I fail, if I break my vow to the bank on paying the land, guess what? They get the house and the land, right? Yeah, that's the way that works. And the thing about it is, that house and that land will always be the house and the land that was acquired through default. I want to ask you something. How many times have you asked about a house and someone said, yeah, that's that house that those people the bank foreclosed on? It'll always be that house that the bank foreclosed on. That's that piece of land that was defaulted. That fellow down there, he bought it and wouldn't pay the bank, and the bank took it back. I don't know how many times I've heard stuff like that. It stays with that piece of land. It stays with that house that was acquired by the bank on default. Even after it's changed hands two or three different times, somebody still knows, oh yeah, that's that house that was gained through foreclosure or whatever it might be. Well, when we make a promise with someone, when we give our word, and we give collateral or guarantee our word with something greater like the name of God or heaven or earth or Jerusalem, even our own neck, if we default on our promise, it degrades. It brings shame upon not only us, but on our collateral also. You realize that? But notice now, our text in Matthew 5, that the Lord says here not just not to swear by the name of God or heaven or earth or Jerusalem or by our own head, but he's making it very clear here. He's saying, people, my people, don't swear at all. That's what he's saying. Why? Why is he telling us not to swear at all? It was common practice in his day, in the time that he lived on the earth. Well, one of the reasons why is because swearing, making promises that we can't and we won't keep, can get us in real trouble. It can get us in real trouble. Turn over, turn back, hold your place in Matthew 5 again. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 21. Pay close attention to what the Lord says here. He says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, if thou wilt not make that vow with him, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform. Even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. When we make a vow to the Lord, or to someone else using his name, and we break it, listen, he's going to hold us accountable. He's going to hold us accountable. The Bible tells us that as the Lord's churches, we're supposed to confess our faults one to another. I think that's sort of a lost art, but in modern times that we live in. But I'm going to confess something to you, because as I was dealing with this passage, there was one particular time that I remember that it was just between me and the Lord, and I promised to do something. And I said, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. And you know what? I failed to do it. I failed. I tried, but I failed. And I will tell you, The moment I failed, the Lord smote my conscience. I knew that it was more serious than just failing. I had failed something that I had promised Him that I would do. And I think, I to this day, that's been many, many years ago, to this day, I think there's still consequences from that. It's a very serious thing when we make a vow unto the Lord, when we make a promise unto the Lord, and we don't keep it, or we make a promise using His name, or swearing to keep it for heaven's sake, if you will, or whatever it might be. It's a very serious thing. I want you to think about something, though. Consider this verse, Deuteronomy 6:13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and guess what it says? And shalt, positively, yes, swear by His name. Deuteronomy 10:20. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, Him shalt thou serve, and to Him shalt thou cleave, and swear by His name. What does all that tell us? How do we reconcile these passages that seem to differ against one another? Almost contradicts. In one place, the Lord tells us to swear by His name in His law. In another place, the Lord, in the person of Jesus Christ, tells us don't swear at all. Don't swear by the name of the Lord. On one hand, we're told or we're commanded to fear the Lord and swear by His name. But on the other, Christ tells us not to swear at all. Where, you know, this is just like all the rest of God's law. The problem is not the law. The problem is us. It's us. The problem is not the swearing by the name of the Lord or swearing upon His name. The problem is our inability to keep to do that which we have sworn to do. You see, in actuality, the spirit of the law is this, and this is where it really brings it down to all of us. The Lord's people are to be a people of integrity. Our word should be of enough value that it should stand alone without any collateral. Our word. We're to be a people of our word. Let me get real personal with you here to make the Lord's point. Is there any of us here who have not broken a promise? I've already confessed one of mine. One of the times that I haven't. All of us have broken our promise. All of us have broken our word, whether it's in our spiritual life or it's in our personal life or it's in our financial life. Somewhere, more like everywhere, when you get to looking at it, we have broken our promise. And we get to the point in this flesh that we just kind of will say, oh, well, you know, it's just another time, broken promise, no big deal. The reality is that we need to be so aware of ourselves, because everything that we say and do has a profound effect on our representation of our great God. You see, that's where it's at. The Jews, they were taking the Lord's name and swearing upon it and breaking His law left and right. They weren't keeping their word, and it was an open reproach to the name of God. And the Lord said, stop it. Don't swear at all. Really, he was telling them there, and remember what we said about the Pharisees, when He condemns them, boy, He really condemns us. He was telling them, you are lawbreakers. You cannot keep your word. You sin against God. Well, when we sin against God, when we don't keep our word, our promises, we bring reproach upon Him. And we do that when we break our word. You see, it's a very serious thing. I know in our day and time, I mean, listen, the people that come into your life, the biggest percentage of them you're leery of. You know it. I am. I have to watch myself of being too negative about people as I meet them, because I've seen, I'll give you a perfect example. I have learned in the business I'm in and the people that I have, the secular business I'm in, and the people that you run in day to day, you know, a lot of people will find out I'm a preacher. And they will enter a conversation talking about what a great Christian they are. And I want to tell you, it makes me very, very leery of them right off the bat. Why does it do that? I heard another fellow put it like this. He said, I'm always afraid of a fellow who leads with his religion in sales. And it's true. But isn't it a shame that it's true? That the Lord's people we have come to such a point where breaking our word is so such a light thing that everybody, you have to be resistant of everyone because you just figure that the fellow is untrustworthy. We've come to a sad, sad place in our day. We really have. And it's not just because of the world. Look upon your own heart and you'll see that part of it's because of me. Part of it's because of actions like I have done. And those things should be very, very serious to us. Because the truth is, when we break our word, we do bring reproach. Especially as the Lord's people, we bring reproach upon His name. We should be people who are trustworthy, who are people of integrity, who keep our word. Let me just show you how serious it is. Flip over to James chapter 5 as we close. James chapter 5 and verse 12. Listen to what it says. Listen how it starts. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be no. Your yes be yes. You promise to do something, you say yes, let that be what it is. Let it be a yes. And let the person you made a promise with realize, hey, that fella will keep his word. And if it's no, if you tell someone no, don't let them persuade you to do it. Say no. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, is what it says. Lest you fall into condemnation. That word there is judgment. What we're just talking about just now. When somebody breaks your word, what is it? That person's judged. Hey, that fellow can't believe a thing he said. You can't trust him. That's what it says. But notice how he started begin that. But above all things, that means it's pretty important, right? He's talking in the rest of the chapter. I'm going to take this to be just above what he has already talked about in this chapter. He's talking in the rest of the chapter about being patient and long-suffering under persecution. And grudging, not grudging or grumbling against one another as the Lord's people in the Lord's church. And then he says, above all things, swear not. Be a people of your word, lest you fall into condemnation. See, once again, today we are led by the Lord, by the perfect man, to see sin clearly. It is a sin to swear falsely. It is a sin to break our word. That's what that means. That's the root of the problem. It's being a people whose word cannot be trusted. That's a sin. May the Lord reveal unto us personally how we sin in this area. You know, we need to ask the Lord to do that. We need to pray that He would reveal our sin unto us so we can repent from it and be forgiven and find forgiveness from Him. Because so many of these things, our conscience has been so seared by living in the world that we live in, and that's not a justification for it. Don't misunderstand me. But I tell you, just think about how lightly sin is taken in our day, and how much that has changed. We talked about it before, over the last 20 years. I mean, the things that are done nowadays that are common, that even we look right past and don't think anything about. Why, those things would have caused the people to mourn 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. They would have been all out, you know, something that the Lord's people would have stood against. But in our day and time, especially in our day and time, we need to ask the Lord to reveal the sin, how we sin in these areas against Him, that we might indeed find repentance and find forgiveness for these things. That's the reason the Lord's teaching like He is here in the Sermon on the Mount. He's dealing very directly with His disciples, just like He would be us today. We stand in the same boat, if you will, as they. If He was here, He would be dealing with us in the very same way. And Really, he is, isn't he? His Spirit's here with us. May his Spirit deal with us, just like he dealt with them, his disciples of old, that we might find his truth and know his truth, and that those things that are against his truth would be put out of our lives. That's the reason for these lessons, for these very practical teachings. We need to be a people of integrity in our word. Our word should stand alone without any collateral. We don't want to swear unto the Lord. I know we don't use the words that they would have used, but I've heard people say, you believe me as quote unquote, as the Lord is my witness. Have you heard that? I have. Well, that's in a sense swearing upon the Lord. There's no need to do that. Our word, when we say something to somebody and say, you should believe me, that should be enough. They should say, yeah, that person said it. That's true. That's the kind of people that we need to be. May the Lord help us. May He lead us in His grace to hear and heed and follow His great word and follow Him, the perfect man. We're thankful for these very practical lessons. Sometimes they're very painful. You think they're painful for you. What do you think about me when I'm wrestling with the Lord over these things? But I should be thankful, even when those lessons are painful. I am thankful for the Lord and revealing His truth unto us. How important it is for us as the Lord's people to honor Him and glorify Him with our lives. That's really what our whole life is about, and it should be so important for us that we do that and don't do something that is going to completely alter that. And may the Lord give us grace that we would guard ourselves and that He indeed would guard us also, protect us from these things. Let's go to the Lord again in prayer this morning as we close this portion of our service. Our Heavenly Father, we again thank You for Your great word this morning. We thank You, Lord, that it is truth. And Lord, this sin that You have brought forward, it is true that it is a sin. I know, Lord, so much of the time in our lives we take sin so lightly. Lord, and we categorize our sin as these are not so bad sins and these are worse sins. But Lord, all of this in reality is foolishness. You are the only one that would have a right to do such a thing. And Lord, we realize that all sin to You is a very grievous thing. It offends You. And sin in Your people's lives, Lord, it brings reproach upon You. For Lord, we're not our own. We're Yours. And Lord, if we are found, Lord, in these sins, we are as an unusable tool in Your hand. So we pray, Lord, that You would cleanse us and purify us. Forgive us, Lord, from all unrighteousness. Give us grace to repent, Lord, from our sins against You, and help us to realize they are against You and they're very serious. And Lord, even in what we would call the smallest of these things, we pray, Lord, that You would help us to rid them from our lives, that we, Lord, might bring honor and glory to Your most precious name and bring no reproach upon You. Lord, we just thank You and praise You that You are so gentle with us in Your word. You're so gentle with us, Lord, by Your Spirit. And Lord, You surely do deal with us in mercy, and we praise Your great name for it. Help us, Lord, as we go into the further parts of the service. We pray that You would be honored and glorified, that You would magnify Yourself before Your people today. Lord, that according to Your will, that You would save the lost. Lord, that You'd bring Your sheep into the fold. Lord, that You would encourage Your people and that You would edify Your church, we pray, for Your glory, for Your honor, for Your mercy's sake, Lord, for Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.